Ninth chapter, Acts, the ninth chapter is where we will begin this morning. I'd like to read this scripture and then we will get to the text, Acts, the ninth chapter. Want to pick it up in the last part of verse 19, right through verse 31. Acts 9, verse 19 through 31. Now, for several days he was with the disciples who were at Damascus, that is, Saul was. Immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of God." And those hearing him continued to be amazed and were saying, "Is this not he who in Jerusalem destroyed those who called on this name and who had come here for the purpose of bringing them bound before the chief priest?" But Saul kept increasing in strength and confounding the Jews who lived at Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ. When many days had elapsed, the Jews plotted together to do away with him. But their plot became known to Saul. They were also watching the gates day and night so that they might put him to death. But his disciples took him by night and let him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in a large basket. When he came to Jerusalem, he was trying to associate with the disciples, but they were afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took hold of him and brought him to the apostles and described to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had talked to him and how at Damascus he'd spoken out boldly in the name of Jesus. And he was with them, moving about freely in Jerusalem, speaking out boldly in the name of the Lord. And he was talking and arguing with the Hellenistic Jews, but they were attempting to put him to death. But when the brethren learned of it, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him away to Tarsus. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace, being built up and going on in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. It continued to increase. Loving Heavenly Father, we are grateful for the record of your amazing grace that is set before us. This one individual, Saul, who had brought much harm to the saints and to the church, who had stood opposed to Jesus Christ by faith through grace, became a believer, and now is proclaiming and standing firm for the one he once despised. Thank you for this record. Thank you for the reminder that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. And Father, we're aware that if you could save the apostle, you can save anybody. And if you can save a soul from hell, you can do anything. And as we gather this morning, Father, we have needs, we have concerns, and we're reminded that you are great and glorious and can do all things. So encourage our faith today. Strengthen us as you would see pleased. For that, Father, I would pray that your Spirit would lead me and your people. May I proclaim as I need to. May each of us respond as we should. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. If you're new here today, what we've been doing is walking through this book, this wonderful record of the early church. We've been seeing the Holy Spirit powerfully moving through individuals. God is taking a people, building his church. He is using individuals to proclaim Jesus Christ. Wherever God's at work, Satan is there to oppose it. We've been talking about in the last couple weeks an individual who was a persecutor of the church, who came to faith in Jesus Christ. And that man's name is Saul. He'll later be made known as Paul. So in that moment when Saul believed, everything changed. Everything changed. The miracle of conversion happened to Saul. He went in a moment in time from being under the wrath of God to being the recipient of his amazing grace, having been forgiven all his trespasses. He now has been adopted into the family of God. His whole life did a 180-degree turn because he was no longer the man he used to be. God was at work from the inside out. His life consisted before Christ of pursuing the one, Jesus Christ, his church, those who loved him, but he begins to be the one who proclaims him because he's a new man in Christ. And I want to remind you this morning that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, to be in Christ. And you'll see that term throughout Scripture, especially the New Testament, specifically the New Testament. But to be in Christ is to come to the point where I understand that I'm a sinner and there's only one who can save me. And I've placed all of my faith in him and him alone for salvation. understanding that there's only one name by which I must be saved, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So in Christ, we have been made new. When a person places their faith in Him as their Savior, in that moment in time, God declares them to be justified, to be right, to be declared righteous in His sight. They're no longer under His wrath. And if you're here today without Jesus Christ, you are under the wrath of God. If you've come to faith in Him, you are now the recipients of His amazing grace. Saul is this new creation in Christ. And with this new creation, there are four new realities for Saul that were true of him. They're also true of us. The first one is he has a new commission. He has a new commission. Look with me again at the last part of verse 19. For several days he was with the disciples who were at Damascus. He's with them, not opposing them. But it says immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogues. And that's how Saul ministered. You'll see later on, I think it's the 13th chapter when he takes on the name Paul. But he always went to the synagogues first. But you'll notice there what he's proclaiming, what he's preaching. He's preaching Jesus in the synagogues. Jesus means Savior. This is the one he opposed. But he's a new man in Christ. He has a new commission. You and I have a new commission when we come to Christ. It is to proclaim the excellencies of Him. We have been given the ministry of reconciliation. Earlier in the book of Acts, we learned that we are His witnesses to are wherever we're at, and beyond that, all the way to the world. But he is proclaiming Jesus. Amazing, isn't it? Why? Because he's a new man in Christ. He preached him, though, too, not only as Savior, but also as God. Notice the last part of verse 20. I'll read the whole verse. He immediately began to proclaim Jesus in a synagogue, saying, He is the Son of God. So he's saying here that in Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form, Colossians 2:9. He's saying he's God. He's proclaiming deity for the Lord Jesus. He's saying that he is the Christ as well, Jesus, the Son of God, the one who redeemed mankind. Look at verse 21. All those hearing him continue to be amazed and we're saying, this is not he who in Jerusalem destroyed, or is this not he who in Jerusalem destroyed those who called on this name and who had come here for the purpose of bringing him bound before the chief priests? You know, this new man in Christ had a new commission, and those who looked at him, they were confounded. They're saying, wait a minute, isn't he the one who was on his way here? Word had gotten there. Remember, Ananias had heard he was coming. We looked at that last week, and he was there to imprison. He had documents to take believers back to Jerusalem. But those on the outside are looking at that and they're saying, what's going on here? And is that not how it often is, friends, when someone comes to Jesus Christ? Sometimes the church is confounded, but certainly many times their influence, their friends, their family is saying, what in the world has happened to them? Verse 22, I think it speaks here of he kept increasing in strength, verse 22, confounding the Jews who live at Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the promised one. He's got quite a ministry. It's a new commission. He's preaching Jesus. He's preaching that he is God. He's preaching that he is Christ. And those looking from the outside are saying, whoa, what has happened? What has happened? He's a new creation in Jesus Christ. That's what has happened. This is one of the most beautiful things that I get to see oftentimes as a pastor, where someone will come to faith and their world will be turned upside down. And I've heard people say, what happened to so-and-so? That's grace, friends. That's the power of the gospel. Saul had a new commission. He also had a new challenge. Between verses 22 and 23, we will find in Galatians 1:17 that Saul, by then Paul, speaks that there's a three-year interval there, and he goes off to Arabia. He is. It seems to me that he's personally taught by the Lord Jesus Christ. And So it says here, he kept increasing in strength, verse 22. When many days had elapsed, verse 23, I believe that's that gap there, the Jews plotted together to do away with him. I believe he comes back to Damascus then. And he's got this new challenge. Many days had elapsed, and the Jews plotted together to do away with him. This isn't the first time, and it won't be the last time that the apostle has a plot against him to take his life. Matter of fact, that's pretty much how he lived life. Right on the edge, not knowing what the next day held, looking to the Lord Jesus. And there's this plot. It's verse 24. It became known to Saul. They were also watching the gates day and night so that they might put him to death. And so the many days have passed. He's had that time, that three years in desert training, if you would. And not the first one, who God has taken and said, okay, I've got you here. I want to take some time, and I want you to grow, and I've got some things that are going to come in your life, and I want you just to kind of bear up under what I have for you, and God uses that. And I'm sure when Saul had maybe gone back, he says, you know, this is going to be great. I know so much more, and there's going to be this great revival in Damascus. I can see it happening, and that's not really what happened, was it? It says, these days that had elapsed, the Jews, and those would be the individuals who he one day stood with, who were his friends at one time. They were soldiers, arm to arm, standing against what God was doing through Jesus Christ, standing against the church. But here he's got this plot, and it became known. And they're watching the gates. That's the entrance to the city. In 2 Corinthians, it tells us that even the governor got involved in this. Boy, that message of the gospel, it was pretty offensive in those days. Not like that today, right? Aren't we glad for that? That message went out, and it touched people. And I don't know if Saul was thinking, that when I get there, God's going to powerfully use me. It may not at all have been what he thought. But we know the reality. There was this plot to kill him. And with that also, there was a rescue that was provided. Look at verse 24 again. But their plot became known to Saul. They were also watching the gates day and night so that they might put him to death. But his disciples took him by night and let him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in a large basket. The gates were being watched. There was a plot out to take Paul's life. And what a humbling experience this must have been to think, you know, I've got the gospel, I'm going to proclaim it, and this isn't at all how I thought it might turn out. But, you know, he had a new commission and a new challenge, and we have those as well. And it may be that there's someone or some place that we've gone and we've said, I know God has directed me there, and I'm looking for fruit. I'm looking for an individual to come to faith in Christ. I'm looking for them to understand the glorious gospel that you're a sinner and God has provided for you a way of escape from being under the wrath of God. And it's just that simple. And I know they're going to come to faith, and the door gets slammed in your face. And we've all felt that, haven't we? We felt the sting of that, perhaps with family members, friends, or perhaps we were on some kind of ministry trip or experience, and that didn't quite turn out that way. He experiences that. There's a couple nuggets here that I want us to just grasp for a moment. There is a positive to years piling up. Paul spent 3 years. Saul spent 3 years. I'm speaking of who he is, not who he was, right? But in this text, he's Saul. Okay. He spent 3 years. I don't know what that was like. I remember a point in my life thinking, you know, it was between my junior and senior year of Bible training. I'm thinking, I'm ready to go, Lord. I don't want to be in a classroom for another year. There's a church out there. There's people need to be saved. There's things that need to happen, and I'm ready. And he's saying, stay put, son, stay put. And so for us, when those years pile up, there's a positive. We learn and can learn much through experience, through taking time, just being at the feet of our Lord in the Word and learning. And some of you have many years that are piled up on you now, right? You know what I'm often told? Don't get old, Pastor. And I want to say, okay, so What do I do with that one, right? But some of you are seasoned saints. And I want to say to this body, get around them. Learn from them. They have so much to offer us. They're not going to go down to the gym and play probably full court basketball game with you, okay? But they have lived life. They've been through the ups and downs of what it is to live in this body on this side of eternity. Listen to them. I believe they're so mature. I believe they have some great, great words for you and I. God can and will powerfully use them in ministry. But our experiences, whatever that is, God uses that in our lives. Here's the redeeming quality of tough stuff in a Christian life, okay? Here's the redeeming quality. If we'll yield to God as we ought to, he can powerfully use that in us and through us, okay? So there's a couple things there I want you to, some takeaways that I think would be very helpful. You know what the Saul also had here? It shows us in this text that he found some new companions. Found some new companions. Look at verse 26. When he came to Jerusalem, he was trying to associate with the disciples. I believe that this is, then there's this 10-year gap after this. He goes from Damascus to Jerusalem, and then he's kind of set in verse 30. They send him away. But he goes there to Jerusalem. He's trying to associate with the disciples. Peter's there, James there, the other disciples. But they were afraid of him. They were afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. So there's this struggle. Saul's past, you know, it kind of ran out to not only Damascus, but Jerusalem. And he's a well-known guy. And Saul is wanting to associate with these guys. And they're saying, no, we know about you. They were all afraid of him. They were afraid of him. He is a powerful man. They were afraid of him. Not believing that he was a disciple. I love this next word, but, right? God, by his grace, called Saul to be saved. He's called him to ministry. That same grace that saved him, God will keep pouring out to use him and to meet every need. But Barnabas, son of encouragement. What a beautiful name. What a wonderful ministry this man had. Barnabas took hold of him. The idea is there is he grabbed his hand. He took hold of him. He says, come on, Saul. He brought him to the apostles. And what did he do? He described to them how he'd seen the Lord on the road and that he had talked to him. And how at Damascus he'd spoken out boldly in the name of Jesus. And what he says to the apostles is, look, this man is a new man. He's not who he used to be. He's proclaiming Jesus. I've heard of how he had come to faith, and it's real. So there's this provision. A man named Barnabas took hold of Saul, grabbed him by the hand. One pastor has made a great observation concerning this. He says, you can live down your past in the very place that knows your past. Did you get that? You can live down your past in the very place that knows your past. How? He's a new man in Christ. You know, this church is not full of, saints without any challenges. We don't get together Sunday morning to show off any kind of righteousness. No, we're sinners, saved by the grace of God. And we all came the same way, right? Right at the foot of the cross, no matter the past. God's grace flowed. We've been forgiven. Have we not been forgiven? We are new creatures, new creations in Christ. That's what Saul was. And Barnabas said to the other guys, you got to get around this guy. You got to see him. And that provision is for us as well. You know, as we gather together, there is the grace to come alongside someone and for you to come alongside someone else to have this oneness, this nearness, this embracing, this affirmation into the body of Christ. And you and I need to remember, brother, sister, we need to remember that even though we may know some about what happened in the past, if that person has come to Christ, let's remember 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man, not those just that maybe don't have some of those issues or some of those things standing out there that others take notice of. Not just those good boys, those good girls. No, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. And when someone comes to Christ, we need to embrace them. We need to celebrate. By the way, there is, right? Great rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents. Why would we do anything else? We need to celebrate. We need to say, welcome home. You are part of the body. So there's that provision. There's also this plot. It's version 2.0. You see it here? He was with them moving about. By the way, they embraced him. Look at 28. He was with them moving about freely in Jerusalem, speaking out boldly in the name of the Lord. In Galatians, Saul says, I met with Peter. I stayed with him for 15 days. He also mentions he met with James. And he was talking and arguing with the Hellenistic Jews. They were attempting to put him to death. Those Hellenistic Jews, they were Jews born outside of Jerusalem. They were those who were more cultured, Greek-speaking. They gave him a hard time. And they couldn't stand up to what Saul was doing. He was taking the Old Testament. I'd imagine Isaiah 53, something like that. Some of the Psalms, Psalms 18. 22, messianic prophecies concerning Jesus Christ. And he was saying to them, your Messiah, Jesus the Savior, Christ, the promised one, the Messiah is here. He is God. This is the way to be right before a holy God. They couldn't handle that, just like with Stephen. And so the plot was there again. Second plot here we've looked at in this text. Let's kill him. That's what you do. When you can't answer an argument in those days, and today at times, you kill the messenger. That's what they wanted to do. And Saul gets escorted out of town here as well. They were attempting to kill him. When the brethren learned of it, and he's been embraced now by the church. And he's got people, he's got men, and probably women as well that have come along and understood that he's a disciple, but they ushered him out of town. They looked out for him. Verse 30. Brethren learned of it. They brought him down to Caesarea and sent him away to Tarsus. So he's got these new companions that have been a great help to him. Let's remember, though, too, to be a friend, one must find himself friendly. I've had people at times say to me, I walked into church, no one said hi to me today. You know what I want to say to them? You do, though. You do. Did you say hi to anyone? We need to be proactive in this. We're going to be a loving church. That means you and I and you and I and you and you and you need to be proactive and loving. Someone comes through that door. Hey, great to see you today. Thanks for coming. We're trusting. It's going to be a great day with the Lord. This is my name. Welcome. We need to be proactive in that. So he's got new companions. There's a new community too. And I need to finish here. It says, so the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace. The church. You realize Saul now is part of the church. He is one that Christ died for. He's come to faith. This is the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. Saul is one of them. He's, by the way, he's going to spend another 10 years or so before we pick him up. He's got about 20 years of ministry after that. He's setting this. God is sort of taking him for 13 years and saying, Saul, I'm going to shape you. I'm going to teach you. Before you go and shake up the world, I've got a work in your heart and mind I'm going to do. So he's part of the church, and there's peace there. It says all Judea, Galilee, Samaria enjoyed peace because the great persecutor has now become the great proclaimer. He's off the scene for a bit. Now the church is just, and there's ups and downs for the church, but the body of Christ here is enjoying peace, being built up. They're looking at the scriptures. They're gathering together. They're worshiping. They're learning. And it says they're going on in the fear of the Lord, great reverence for God. Oh, we've got a great God, and we honor him. It says, in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, God was free to move through his Spirit in that group, and it continued to increase. You've got new brothers, new sisters coming into the family. Well, friends, what was Saul's is ours. New commission, new challenge, new companions, new community. Okay? I want to say to you today, you may be here today without Jesus Christ. You can be forgiven. You can be made new in a moment of time. Right now, right here, right now. By coming to faith in Jesus Christ, by putting your faith in Him, by receiving Him as your personal Savior. Jesus died for you. He went to the cross. He bore your sin. God poured His punishment out on Him. He died. He rose again in triumph the third day, never to die again. Never to die again. He conquered death and hell. And He alone is the one who we must look to for salvation. I would invite you to trust Him as your personal Savior. I would say to you to invite Him in. The Word says, as many as received Him, verse 12 of 1 John, to them He gave the right to become the children of God. It's like this. I understand I'm a sinner. I'm asking God to save me now. I'm receiving Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. The Scripture says, whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Brothers and sisters, we have work to do. Ours is a new commission. We have new challenges. We have new companions. We have a new community. But if you're here today without Jesus Christ, I'd ask everyone to bow their heads, close their eyes. I want to give you an invitation to trust Him as your Savior from sin right here, right now. You can, now you're believing this. You can voice it in your own heart, something like this. God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm under Your wrath. And I know the wages of sin is death. But I'm trusting in the One who came and died for me that I might be saved. I'm asking Him now to save me, trusting He will. Every head bowed, every eyes closed. If that's what you have expressed to God in your heart in this moment, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand, put it down. Just raise your hand, put it down. I see that. Anyone else? Raise your hand, put it down. You're trusting in Him at this moment. Anyone else? Loving Father, we're grateful for those who have indicated just that. Help them to know what they have in Jesus. Father, thanks for this new life that we have in Him. We've been made anew. And Father, You didn't save us to allow us to sit down and kind of wait for life to go by. Father, may we embrace the cross. May we embrace the message and live for You, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. At this point, I'm going to dismiss any that would want to leave.